Good evening. We're going to read from the book of Romans tonight, from Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 14 to 21, and I'll ask my wife to read that and then we'll say a prayer.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Gracious Father, thank you, Lord, for your word to us this night. And as we look at this word, Lord, we just pray it will bring a message into our heart. It is a message of hope, but is also a hard message for us, Lord, as well, to live this way with you. It is only in your power we can do it. Father, as we read this passage and look at it and talk about it now, we just ask for your revelation, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. They're pretty hard words. Pay no man evil for evil. When someone hurts us, our first instinct is, hurt back. If you don't agree with that, you're not really being honest with yourself. Sorry. When someone rips us off, does something to us, want to hurt them back. But the proper treatment of those that opposed to us was spoken of in Romans 12, verse 14. And from this point is the sole topic of the section. No man who injures us, whether a Christian brother or one without, as in Romans 12, 14, the apostle knew too well by experience that in the church itself, in the body of Christ itself, one could encounter spite, injustice, jealousy, hate, and the list can just go on and on and on. The principle is plain, but the temptation to disobey is often very strong. It's easier to hit back with hate than to hit back as Jesus would. There was a song that was sung by Harry Secombe in the 90s, I think we used to listen to it. And it was probably a song that wasn't that he was a Christian or anything, but it was probably a song the Lord really spoke to me about. And it went along these lines. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, not if you can, but if it is possible, if others allow you to do so, be at peace with all men. That is, that this is sometimes impossible, and the apostle life shows, but our responsibility extends as far as our ability to keep peace. If it is possible, as far as you can, live at peace with everyone. That's a core value of Christianity. Do you know that? If it is possible. We only got to look. Who remembers the Twin Towers? I particularly remember that because I was sitting there waiting for my grandson Callum to be born, watching with the TV on with no sound, and I thought, gee, that's a good movie. But it was real. The biggest mistake ever made with Twin Towers is, particularly America, wanted revenge. They might say they wanted justice, but it was revenge. And look where it's got us. It still goes on today. When you do something, respond in such a way, it can carry on and carry on, and others bear that burden. It would have been far better for America to make some different decisions at that time. than the one they made. Rather, give place to the judgment of God than to bring our own judgment. This seems to be the only sense consistent with what follows. Let God's judgment take its course. Do not attempt to execute it yourself. Our Lord's conduct, as described in 1 Peter 2, verse 23, have I got that verse in? I'll let you put that up. If people do not want to live in peace with you, you know what to do? If people do not want to live in peace with you, what's the best course of action? Change your friends or move away. Don't be near them. I'm not telling you to move house. I just, if you're having in conflict with someone, give space. It's okay to do that. Okay? Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, but when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Let God be the judge of it all. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you think that you can bring down a rain of terror, think of Sodom and Gomorrah. He rained down balls of sulfur on that place. There was barely anything left. So when God wants to judge and get angry, he can get a lot angrier than us. I just want to point out one of the other things too. You know, we often think that anger is a sin, but anger is a gift from God. How does that sound? That's a bit different, isn't it? Because sometimes we do need to be angry about things because they're wrong. We would just go along with everything. But some things are just plain wrong. So God gives us that gift. In our fallen state, though, sometimes we just mix up how we're supposed to use it. But it is a gift from God. The morality of this precept is based on the holiness of God. So as love and wrath are two poles of holiness, just think about that. As love and anger are two poles of holiness, it does not exclude the blessing of our adversaries as intercession for them does. So we can pray for them. What does the Lord say? Don't take your anger against them. Pray for them. And let God deal with it. His way. And very often, God will deal with it his way. And sometimes they get the wrath of God, the anger of God upon them. Remember, you're a child of God and he wants to look after you. It is written, vengeance is mine. That's out of Deuteronomy. I don't think I'll put that verse in, but don't worry. I will recompense, says the Lord. The Hebrew is, mine is revenge and requital. If you want to do a direct translation, mine is revenge and a requital. In the day of vengeance, the Lord will recompense. There is a day coming when the whole world gets judged. We all have to account for everything, even those who are in Christ. But when he looks at us, what does he say? Yeah, because we have trusted in Jesus for our salvation. That is the total difference. The verse corresponds exactly with Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 to 23, and is adopted by the apostle here. And I believe I have that verse, and Phyllis is going to read that for me.
If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. The north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance.
Okay, that's a good little passage to read. We're better off not saying something than saying something. Because often when we want to say something and correct something, we say the wrong thing and cause more trouble. Do not overcome evil by evil. Overcome evil by good. This sums up the entire matter respecting the treatment of those against us. When we require evil for evil, we are overcome. When we return good for evil, we overcome it. Do you want to be an overcomer or be overcome? I'm sure we would rather be overcomers. It works different to what we would think it works. As Christ did on the cross, when we do this, we achieve the greatest victory with love. We win by yielding, we gain by giving. We avenge by forgiving. We conquer by forgetting ourselves so as to return good for evil. Men whose minds can withstand argument and whose hearts rebel against threats are not proof against the persuasive influence of sincere love. There is therefore no more important guarantees for being good than that it increases our power to do well to all. So let us pray. Father, we just thank you for that word to us this night. Lord, that we would live your way regardless of what goes on and what we understand or don't understand, because sometimes we just don't understand it, Lord. But we want to thank you, for your ways are higher than our ways. And Lord, we do want to be victors. Have that victory you have had, that victory that you give to us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word to teach us. We just pray, Lord, we impart it into ourselves that it may teach us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to look at Isaiah chapter 53, verse, the whole of Isaiah chapter 53, actually. Yes, there's only 12 verses in it. We all know Isaiah 53. It's a very common passage in the Bible.
And who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labour of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
Thank you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our sins. He was bruised for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Yet the Messiah was cut down, beaten, smitten by God. He felt so alone in this time. He was all afflicted. But then the prophet explains why. It was for us, for our sins, for our iniquities. It was in our place that Jesus suffered. He is the sacrificial lamb. He is the scapegoat. We've all heard the story of the scapegoat, the one they let out. He ran away and took the sins with him. It was in our place that Jesus suffered. Wounded is literally, he was pierced through. And by his stripes, we are healed. Here the prophet sees through the centuries to know that the Messiah, to know that Jesus would be beaten with many stripes. Follow that passage of scripture through, and as you read through the Gospels, it is a recurring theme. You can say it's all about Jesus, but it is also all about God, but it is also all about us. Here's the reason that we're here, because he cared about us. The prophet announces that provision for healing is found in the suffering of Jesus. You know, it's well and good to always be saying, we should be prosper, we should do this, we should do that. And yet Jesus prospered by suffering, by being absolutely cut down, by being absolutely killed. By his stripes we are healed. Can I have a couple, someone come out and just do the kneel? And as that happens, we will pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your provision to us. We thank you, Lord, for this bread that represents Jesus Christ, taken to that cross. Jesus Christ, before the judgment, condemned by a court of law with no proof. Beaten, thorns stuck in his head, lashed with a whip with cat nine tails, beaten to barely been able to stand. He was smitten, unrecognizable, yet he did it willingly because he loved us. Father, it's a thing so great, it's barely understandable, Lord, of what you would do for us, how much you loved us and cared for us. You took our place. That beating that was due to us, you took for us. And Father, as we take this biscuit, it represents the broken body of Jesus Christ, broken for us, broken in so many ways, broken to the point of death, hung upon a cross and put to shame, spat upon and insulted. Yet he did it because he loved us. So let's take and eat as we remember our Lord. And Jesus, as we also think about the blood that flowed from his body to the ground, it is the blood that keeps us in eternal covenant. It is the blood which is shown was shown to Abraham in that covenant signed there with God. When he said, if we fail, he will pay the price. And upon the cross of Calvary, he paid the price. And the blood that keeps us in eternal covenant, we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, and let's stay under that covering. For under the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is nothing that can touch us, no demon, no nothing. Let us keep ourselves in that place all the time. So, Father, we thank you as we take this drink and we remember Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your provision to us, for your love for us and your caring for us. We thank you, Father, for being with us through everything that we could go through. Not knowing always, Lord, what will happen, but knowing that you are with us no matter what and you love us and care for us. Thank you, Father, for we can say that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. Yes, Jesus was stricken. He was smitten by God. And it was all for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.